This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Wiener Out Day. People may not know that. It's Wiener Out Day. Wiener's Out Day. I'll explain that here in just a second. In fact, 1 minute, 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Wiener's out. Now, that's not a command, that's a statement. Wiener's out. A disgraced former congressman, convicted sexual offender, Anthony Wiener, is out.
I mean, how much time should you spend in prison for sexting a 14-year-old? I mean, that's certainly not more than, what?
15 months.
15 months is a complete months. Max. That's too much. They only went against him because this country is against high-powered politicians, and particularly Democrats.
Well, he has to pay a $10,000 fine, which, you know, it shouldn't be hard for him, seeing that he had a lot of money in the first place. Mm. But he also has to register as a sex offender, and he does have 3 years probation where he is closely monitored.
So when they say probation, how much sexting with 14-year-olds does that allow for?
I don't think any. But well, he's a Democrat, so maybe some.
Maybe some. Maybe I mean, some. You should at least give him a couple of weeks.
Right.
Perhaps, when you really think about it, he can do as much as he wants. He just can't get caught again.
Exactly.
You got to be a little bit
his
like.
His crime was, I mean, who are you to judge? Love is love. And who are you to judge?
Right.
Love
exactly.
Finds a way.
You know, if a man named Carlos Danger wants to interact with a, you know, a fan of Justin Bieber. Actually too old of a reference now. They're probably all over 14 now.
Right.
But whoever is popular enough, Cardi
with 14.
B. Is Cardi B? Would Cardi B be a good
I
one
don't
here?
Know.
I don't know. Whoever
don't
that
know.
Is. That how can you stop a man from doing such a thing?
By the way, there's somebody else that is in prison for similar things. It's Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby is, quote, having an amazing experience.
Good for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. In an interview, his press spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, said he used the term amazing experience. Now, he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for drugging and sexually assaulting women. He's living off by himself for a while. He's just been put into general population. His wife still has not come to meet him.
Oh, no.
In prison.
Uh-oh.
No. He talks to her 3 times a day for 3 minutes
okay.
on the phone. He says he doesn't want her to come see him in prison, but he's having an amazing experience. He said it's not what he expected.
That's great news.
Yeah.
You know, things change, Glenn. Things change quickly. You know, there's a time where Bill Cosby was so beloved.
Mm-hmm.
In our society.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a little flashback here for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
I think an interesting study mm-hmm. in how the media operates. So the governor of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
he wore blackface in the early 1980s.
I know.
As you know.
I know.
Let's
remember where this started. It started with a complete racist, Megyn Kelly, who just asked a question. I don't understand if you're wearing it. If you're wearing blackface, you know, but you want to glorify that person, she was terminated immediately for asking the question, can you wear blackface if you're doing a tribute and you're trying to look like this individual? She was terminated immediately.
That's amazing. I had totally forgotten that was the
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
About $100 million or, you know, it was like $20 million a year, whatever her contract was.
She got a full $67 million payout.
$67 million.
That's how much they wanted to get rid of her. And they did it with the excuse that she was a racist because she asked that question. But tell me about the governor who's still
in office.
In office.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And also the third guy in line for being a governor also mm-hmm. had worn blackface.
Yeah, but the second guy in line, he was only sexually assaulting people.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Allegedly, Glenn.
Allegedly.
Now, the blackface is not alleged.
Yes.
Because that would actually...
Mm-hmm.
So, remember, this is the early 1980s. He admits to having Michael Jackson and blackface mm-hmm. on. And the reporting on it from the New York Times was, I think the headline was, the governor parties like it's 1884. That was their headline.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, like, here's a... Yes, obviously, we all know that blackface is a really bad idea and you should not mm-hmm. you should not mm-hmm. wear it. However, there has been a time in the past where that was not the way people thought about it. I mean, certainly some did, right? Like, we know that there have been really bad examples of this over the past. But I thought myself, Soul Man was a movie released by a major studio in which the plot of the movie is a white guy goes into blackface to get into Harvard. And it's a hilarious comedy about a white guy who puts on blackface to go into Harvard. Now, we would all say now that would not be something that would be released, and no one would act in it if offered. However, in this period, was it that crazy? Again, it was before Soul Man came out. Like, what, 6 years previous to this, he supposedly wore blackface, okay? And in 1986, the movie Soul Man came out. And I thought to myself, self, what was the New York Times saying about Soul Man in 1986? Because were they out there saying, like, this is a relic from 1884? They said, now they're saying it's party like in 1884. Here is their review of Soul Man in the New York Times from 1986.
I love you, Stu. I just love you.
There's nothing, again, I want you to understand this, Glenn. There's nothing automatically funny about the story of a rich white college boy who masquerades as a black.
There's nothing, it's not automatically. It's not automatically. You got to work into this one a little bit. We're going to make you work for that laugh.
We
it's
are.
More than just putting the blackface on, which, of course, funny, but not
yes.
automatically.
Not automatically. That's not automatically a hit comedy.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Okay.
You guys got to go deeper.
Good.
There's nothing automatically funny about the story of a rich white college boy who masquerades as black in order to collect a scholarship to Harvard Law School. That's putting it mildly. But Soul Man, which opens today at Lowe's, State, and other theaters, has a breeze. Unapologetic manner, and it also happens to be funny, which goes a long way towards making up for any of the underlying obtuseness or insensitivity. The director has arrived at this cheerful frat house version of Tootsie. A cheerful frat house version of Tootsie.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Could Tootsie even be made today?
I don't think. Probably not.
Because wouldn't that be a... Because
it was a guy...
Cross-dresser.
A cross-dresser. And he was pretending to be a woman to be near his children.
Well,
I probably
that, no,
not.
That, you're confusing that with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay.
That's right, so, I am. Right. This is another one you could make.
I don't think you can make that one
you're
either.
Right. So wait, what's Tootsie about?
Tootsie is the actor that couldn't get a job. He was a great actor,
yes.
Couldn't get a job. He needed to be a strong woman is what they were looking for. So, and everybody's saying he was a bad actor, and he's like, okay, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant, funny movie. Funny movie. I mean,
probably
not automatically funny. Sure. But funny.
It's a good point. It's not automatically
no.
funny. It's important to point out.
Just a guy in a dress isn't automatically funny.
Mm. Now, I will ask this question, Glenn. Is it, as the New York Times called Soul Man in 1986, a blithe, silly, good-natured movie? And of its kind, quite an enjoyable one.
Now, hang on just a second. The governor of Virginia is in trouble. Now, if he was the one... Well, if he's either one in the picture with the Klan, he's in trouble. But he denies that that's him, either the Klan or the blackface guy.
Right. And, this is not something you want to push back on. But, I mean, what's the point of the Klan black guy photo? Like, the only thing I could think of is why this photo would exist is the odd pairing, right? Like, it's an odd couple, like two people going to a party. One's a Klan member and one's a black guy, right? Like,
yeah.
That's probably the quote-unquote joke.
Right.
Again, not that I'm defending it.
Right.
But I don't know. Is that any more or less offensive than being Michael Jackson in blackface previously? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it actually is.
It may be.
It's kind of like, a Jew in... prison guard
right.
going with
the
Hitler.
Nazi. Right.
You know,
yeah, that's not a good look.
It's not funny.
Not a good look.
Not funny.
Mm.
However, Michael Jackson, I bet that was a breezy performance. It goes back to what Megyn Kelly was saying.
Yeah.
Is this so bad? Yeah, I think I'm not going to shun anybody, from business 30 years after their life because they did that. However, when you are when you are doing a tribute to someone, mm-hmm. like he was doing with Michael Jackson, is that so bad?
Right. In the theory being that if you're trying to compliment someone as dressing up with them, like, you know, it's the same controversy you see every Halloween now, where if you dress up as a Native American, right, you're taking their culture and it's offensive. But if the person is saying, well, I'm not doing it to be offensive, I'm doing it because I like that culture, is that a problem? And today, absolutely it is. In 1980, was it? I don't know.
No.
In 1986, the New York Times was praising a major studio release about blackface.
You had, for the first time in American history, you had a bunch of white kids wanting to be black yeah. like Michael Jackson, and your star, who was black, changing his face to try to be white. Mm. Or a woman.
Or had a very rare disease.
Not sure what that was
right,
about.
Of
but.
Course. The New York Times goes on to talk about his phony-looking afro in the movie. And this is what actually reminded me of this when you said Cosby. This is one of the quotes from the movie. This is from the white guy in blackface saying, these are the 80s. This is the Cosby decade. America loves black people. This is the hilarious joke they quote in the movie they're praising. Mark's manner remains unchanged after his physical transformation. His attitudes could not help but be affected. In the end, a Tootsie-like learning experience emerges from this adventure. He finds, for example, that he can no longer stand listening to the Beach Boys.
That's your learning
this
experience?
This is a learning experience. If this seems speedy and superficial course in conscious raising, and it comes relatively late in the film, it's better than nothing. And the pretty actress named Melota Hardin does what little she can with the role of a white girl who wants to sleep with Mark simply because he's black.
Can
quote,
you say,
something about 400 years of oppression and anger, as she explains it. This isn't a positive review.
So is that still available, do you know?
What?
Is that, can you still rent that? Can you still find
that?
Because you can't get Song of the South, which is one of the most endearing stories of all time. You cannot get Song of the South.
It's not available on YouTube.
The zippity-doo-dah. No. Cannot get it. But you can get this one?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I just want you to know the National Weather Service has issued an unofficial small dog warning.
But
As
in it's raining?
Nope.
Cats and...
Nope.
No.
Due to strong winds in northern Ohio and northwest Pennsylvania, they have decided to issue the small dog warning that if you have a dog and you're taking him outside and he's small, make sure you put a leash on him because... He may blow away.
Really?
This is the National Weather Service, Pennsylvania.
Is that real?
Now through Wednesday. Yeah, National Weather Service. This came from Cleveland. Wind gusts 45 to 50 miles an hour. Few trees may be blown. Scattered power outages is possible. And hold on to your pooch. A small dog warning wind advisory for northern Ohio and northwest Pennsylvania has been initiated.
I'm glad we're getting this safe space created for us. We know now the truth that we cannot bring our little dogs outside because they might blow away if we don't have a leash. But then it does turn into a pretty cool kite.
How did we survive?
I don't know. How did we make it through?
How did we make it through all these years without... people being told your dog might blow away. Now I've had little dogs before. I've had dachshunds. It's never even occurred to me that my little dog. Now dachshunds are low to the ground, so maybe it's different for them.
Right, they're like the sports car of little dogs.
I would think like an Afghan would be much more inclined to blow away because it's so skinny and thin, and it's like a sail, you know, it's like, it would be like a kite. Put the leash at the center of the Afghan, go for a walk and it'll just blow up and it'll just start like a kite. That one. But dogs would just roll down the street like a tumbleweed.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's. I think you have the science correct.
Do we have tumbleweeds here? No, they're just little Scottish terriers.
Well, how small does a dog have to be? Because that a 40 or 50 mile an hour, I mean, that has to be like one of those really mini, the mini like legitimate in Paris Hilton's purse.
Can I tell
dog.
You something? I've never seen a dog blow down the street. I mean, I've, you know, I'm not like I'm a weather chaser, but I've lived 55 years.
It's really windy here all the time.
Really windy. Yeah. I've never seen, I've never seen like a tumbleweed blowing down the street going yipe 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 yipe. I've never seen that before.
I never have either. But it's happened so many times. There's an actual small dog warning.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, I mean, that's got to be a tough experience.
Do you get an EBS alert?
Beep, beep, beep. It would have to be little barks, wouldn't it? Like little yips.
Yipe,
yipe, yipe. I don't know. That's interesting. Because I think you'd have to have a really small dog. Maybe the idea is like you're walking him on the street, and the wind blows, and it blows him into the street, and then gets hit by cars. It can't be really taking off like a kite, right? I mean, that's tornado territory, isn't it?
No, because really small dogs are about the size of a cat.
Yeah, but a cat is not going to be lifted up and thrown.
Cat's not stupid enough. Cats aren't dumb enough.
I don't know about if they know this, but, dogs are pets, yes. However, there's lots of other animals that are smaller than dogs all over the place.
For instance,
I've never seen any of them blown up in the air either.
We found on Friday a cat-sized rat, not to be confused with a dog-sized or a cat-sized dog.
Cat-sized rat.
Cat-sized rat.
That's terrifying.
Back here, it went into one of the rat traps we found. We were like, ooh. Wow, that's a big one.
Building?
Yeah.
Good God.
Might
why would you tell
us
that?
I'm not picking it up. It might still be there. You want to go look at it?
I thought you were going to say it like your ranch or something.
No.
You mean in here?
Yeah. It was in the back cages. We were going through the property cages, and it was like, and somebody was with me. One guy said, good Lord, look at that. That's a big rat. And we looked down, and then, Tim, he looked at it and he said, oh, I'll get that. And he reached down with his hands and none of us said anything. He was like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to. So it still might be there. But anyway, you don't see rats blowing down the street.
Right. If every time it got windy, like leaves, they blow around in circles. If you saw animals in typhoon.
And I lived in Baltimore, man. There should have been rats like leaves blowing down the street all the time. This is a hoax.
You're listening to
This is the Glenn Beck Program. If you are sick and tired of hearing all of the bad stuff about America and, just how bad we are and blah, 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 blah. Look, America's story is just like your story. Are you a good person or a bad person? Now, hopefully you say a good person. Now, actually, most likely you will say a good person. Hopefully you will say a good person that is getting better, or a person that was bad, or I'm a little of both, but I'm working. We're all both. It's a wrestle match every single day. Which one are you going to be? You're going to be the bad you or the good you? And that's what America is. We're both bad and good. It's what we choose to make out of ourselves every single day. And we choose that collectively. And right now, we're just choosing to be victims and crybabies. And we've forgotten who we really are. We've totally forgotten who we are. And we just expect everything to be handed to us now. And we don't want to have any problems whatsoever. And society will help you with that. Don't worry about it. Society will help. It's going to be fine. Just relax. Blame it on somebody. If you're tired of all of that, come to the Mercury Pop-Up Museum here at the Mercury Studios. I'm trying to see when this is. This is summer of this year, and it opens on June 28th, and it runs through July 7th. So through the 4th of July weekend, June 28th through July 7th, and it's called 12 Score and 3 Years Ago from 4 Score and 7 years ago from the Gettysburg Address, 12 Score and 3 years Ago, the unfinished promise of unity. Because that's really what the Civil War was about. We're gonna unify. All men are created equal. It's so unfinished. We're going backwards. So we take a look at that, and we take a look at the people who took that freedom and did something amazing with their freedom. So it's quite an experience that will cover the good and the bad. But really, hopefully, I think you're going to leave this going, I had no idea. I had no idea of what so many people did with their freedom that had been, you know, otherwise in this society would have just been called victims. And they would have spent their whole life on TV talking about what victims they were. Instead, they decided to pull themselves up and start doing something with their life and with their freedom. And they changed the world. It's great. It's great. All right. There's a couple of other things that I want to talk about. If you missed the podcast this weekend, every Saturday we do a podcast. And they're usually about 90 minutes, anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes. And they are just riveting, I think. We had Gad Saad on. Now, Gad is a guy who is a university professor from Canada. He is a guy who just loves the truth and is very concerned about what's happening to the truth in universities and all throughout society. And we talked about everything.
One of the first people Jordan Peterson reached out to when he was having his troubles initially.
Yeah, because he's like the godfather of telling truth, you know, and always getting in trouble for it. And he doesn't care. And I love this guy. You're going to fall in love with him when you listen to him. But check it out. Here he is talking about, you know, we say it's Trump derangement syndrome. He calls it something else. Listen to this.
So Munchausen syndrome is where someone feigns a medical condition so that they can garner empathy and sympathy. Oh, poor me, look at me, I'm sick. Munchausen syndrome by proxy is where you take someone who's under your care, your biological child, your pet, your elderly parent, and you harm them so that you can get and garner the sympathy and empathy by proxy because they're damaged, right? So this is called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And by the way, the ones who suffer most from that are usually women who harm their biological children to garner the sympathy. Mm-hmm. So I had written a paper, you know, talking about the psychiatric disorder. And then when I started seeing the faux victimhood, the screaming, the fake hysteria associated with Trump, that's when I coined the term collective Munchausen, because it was a way for people to seek attention in grotesque ways and truly what seemed to me in false sounding ways, right? I mean, I would see on my Facebook page people sort of testifying to their looming victimhood. I am a woman of color. I attend the University of Maine. Will it still be safe for me to go to college now that Trump? Well, what do you think? There's going to be roadblocks and the Trump storm patrols are going to be ushering you to gang rape centers? I mean, what can justify this level of idiotic hysteria? And so that's why I called it collective Munchausen, because it truly was a confabulation of faux hysteria. What upsets me is that it's one thing for this idiot on my Facebook page to write this stuff. It's another thing when many of my supposedly sophisticated intellectual friends were succumbing to the same hysteria. Mm-hmm. That's what upsets me. So I won't mention any names, but one of my good friends, whom you probably know, is one of the type who will say things like, you know, there's going to be food shortages now that Trump, there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. He's the worst thing since Hitler. And this is a guy who otherwise you would have thought is a terribly sophisticated and dispassionate thinker. And so it's a real mystery to me
What causes that? What caused that in him?
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about. Very smart guy. Very reasoned.
Very. I mean, he's sort of the right. Model of the very dispassionate, right? So I pitched an idea on the Rubin Report as to why I think this is happening. I think that the intellectual class views Trump as what I call an aesthetic injury, right? He literally, I mean, you know how this beautiful place that you're in, I mean, is gorgeous aesthetics, right? You have a nice aesthetic sense. Well, academics and intellectual types have a sense of the types of aesthetics that they seek in their leader. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama fit that. He's tall. He's got a beautiful smile. He speaks with a certain cadence of a Southern Baptist preacher. He seems noble and majestic. So it doesn't matter what he says, that most of it is complete but he, my God, he sounds noble and intellectual. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is an ogre. He speaks in an ugly way. He's grotesque. He's a brawler. He's a New Yorker. He's swearing. He's grabbed this, right? So on every possible aesthetic metric, he offends my sense of aesthetics. And so I think they are disgusted by him. They are repulsed. It's visceral.
He is a remarkable man. His name is Gad Saad. He's just remarkable the way he thinks. We cover all kinds of topics, really almost everything. And he, at one point, we started talking about freedom of speech. Listen to this.
So Munchausen syndrome is where someone feigns a medical condition. Free speech absolutist.
Yeah.
I believe that anything short of a direct exhortation to violence, libel and defamation, everything goes. And the way that I demonstrate my commitment to those principles is I pick the most grotesque possible instance, which is Holocaust deniers to a Jewish person, right? What could be more offensive than taking the historical event that is probably the most documented in history, where people were systematically, you know, exterminated, and allow someone to say, no, it never happened. But if you are a free speech absolutist in a free society, then you have to tolerate the most grotesque. So I tell people, I am a Jewish person and I support the right of Holocaust deniers to reject that the Holocaust ever happened. So I walk the walk, talk the talk. So your hurt feelings, frankly, I don't give a blank about. Life is anti-fragile, to use the term of Nassim Taleb, right? You grow by being... That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, correct? Therefore,
postmodernists say that which doesn't, that how is this the turn of the phrase on this?
That we could have cut this part out of this for the love of me.
I've never heard the postmodern.
Yeah, okay,
twist
there's
on that.
They've twisted it and turned it, turned it around upside down.
So it really, I find it very frustrating because it is a perfect way to stifle discussions, right? Don't criticize Islam, because that's my religious faith. That hurts me. What do you mean? In a free society, you can go on Twitter and say what a bunch of crock Judaism is. If I'm strong in my beliefs, I shouldn't worry about what Glenn Beck thinks.
It's amazing how we have turned that upside down. We've really turned that upside down. I mean, I really think that's why people like Ocasio-Cortez are just not the sharpest knife in the drawer. For instance, putting out the Green New Deal, I think that's a pretty stupid rookie fourth grader kind of move. Why didn't she fear? Because she's living at large. No matter what she says, no matter what she does, no one's going to say anything to her because it's a success right now. You're not doing anybody any good if you keep the truth from them. They don't have to defend it. I you know, when you believe in something and you know it to be true, you just know it to be true, that's when you should do a little more listening to the other side, just because it'll sharpen the edge. You'll learn more about what people are saying, the why it's not true, and you'll be able to defend it. But if you don't have anybody sharpening that steel, I mean, you can't last. You can't last.
It's like if you're a band that like has all these hit songs, and then you want to do like a rock opera, and then they push back against you, and they're like, "Hey, maybe the rock opera is not the way to go." Some bands did the rock opera. Some bands went for it. And then, you know, they were no longer bands like 6 months after that.
That's weird that you say that, because I was thinking Queen.
Yeah, Queen is a...
Queen.
Yeah. A lot of people try to do Queen after Queen. I don't know if you know that. You don't remember any of their names because they tried it.
Right. But Queen, Queen did it for the same thing. They didn't want to just do what they were good at. They wanted to push themselves so they would get stronger.
They went out of their comfort zone a little
bit. Yes. And that's something, unfortunately, we don't do, because there's no such thing as a comfort zone anymore. It's a safe zone. And everything that makes you uncomfortable is out of the safe zone. So nobody says, hey, you should make yourself uncomfortable from time to time. Reach out. Push the edges of that. Why? into the unsafe zone? No, no. Bad things happen there. It's dark.
Why are you saying it's dark, racist?
Welcome to the program. A couple of things. First of all, do you think Nancy Pelosi may have CTE? Is there a possibility?
She does seem like every question she's asked is asked as if she is waking up from a 12-hour sleep.
I want to play a little Nancy Pelosi on Valentine's Day last week. Listen.
So thank all of you. Happy Valentine's Day. We saluted our victory, or the victory for the American people, earlier with chocolate. So again, happy Thanksgiving.
No, it's Happy Valentine's Day,
which you correctly stated just a few seconds earlier.
And I mean, I do have the chocolate turkeys on my plate for Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. But we also on those two meals we also serve heart. So I can see the confusion. You know, I think they're seriously, something is not right with Nancy Pelosi.
She really does feel like, you know how you feel when you get up, you're sound asleep and like your alarm goes off in your house and you just wake up and you have no, you don't even know what the rooms are.
The phone ringing sometimes you're like, what is going on?
That is how she seems in every, like she's unaware. Everything's taking her by surprise. She doesn't seem to know the basics.
Well, the surprise is probably just the Botox and the and the eye surgery, because I think when she sits down, her eyes open wider.
Oh, okay.
Her skin's a little too tight.
Well, because the skin is tied to the spine.
Yes.
So when she bends her back, the eyes do open just a little bit. Mm-hmm. She's an interesting individual to lead a party. I mean, I don't know if that's ideal. I don't know. If you could map it out, you'd probably pick somebody
else. These guys just stay in too long.
Yeah.
They stay in too long.
And for her, one day was too long.
Yes, my point exactly. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving, Stu.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
And Columbus Day.
And Flag Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not Flag Day yet.
It's not?
No.
Oh, it's only Groundhog Day, isn't
it? Yeah, it's tomorrow's Flag Day. Or Christmas.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.